And now, Jim Dierman.
The Sermon on the Mount. What a sermon. But what a preacher. The greatest who has ever walked the earth. Jesus Christ Himself. As a part of that great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That statement is a part of what we call the Beatitudes. We're going to look at the heart today. Such an important study. Jesus said, "Only those who are pure in heart shall see God." Notice Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the pure in conduct." He did not say, "Blessed are the pure in speech." Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that passage explains why. "For from within," Jesus says, "out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." No wonder then Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart," because the heart will control the conduct. The heart will control the speech. But we need to ask, what is the heart? Is it the blood-pumping organ in the chest? No, it is not. Not the biblical heart. That's not what the biblical heart is. Nor is the biblical heart simply the emotional part of man. Nor is the biblical heart simply man's will. Nor is the biblical heart simply man's intellect. The heart, biblically speaking, is the emotions, the intellect, and the will. It is not the blood-pumping organ, obviously, but it is the intellect, the emotions, and the will. And to purify the heart is to cleanse the heart. Remember, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." But to purify the heart means to cleanse the heart. The purity that will allow us to stand approved in the presence of God and Jesus Christ comes from having our spiritual arteries, if you will, cleansed of the corrosion of sin. That which would block us, prevent us from seeing God in the sense of being approved of God. Yes, the arteries, spiritually speaking, the spiritual arteries must be cleansed of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then that blood must continually flow freely through our spiritual veins and arteries, as it were, to keep our hearts pure. James Nicholson wrote, "Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. How does that washing occur? How does that cleansing take place? The cleansing of the heart, that is. How is the heart purified initially? That's an important question, isn't it? How do we purify the heart initially? Well, the Calvinistic idea is that we must wait for God to act upon us, to cleanse us, or to purify our hearts through a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. The Calvinistic idea is that man can do absolutely nothing to bring about his purification, that he must wait to see whether or not he's a candidate for purification, whether or not the Spirit will act upon his heart directly. This is the idea of predestination, and that God has predetermined individually, down to the very individual, all who will be saved and all others will be lost. This is not a biblical concept. In fact, it's this false concept that caused many in the Restoration Movement to rethink and restudy some of those old Calvinistic ideas. It caused many to go back to the Bible, to study just the Word of God and to lay aside the creeds and the traditions of men, and to come to the realization that the Bible says man has a part in purifying his heart. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:22-25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently, listen to this, with a pure heart, having been born again. He's writing to Christians who had been purified. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Peter goes on to say, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And then Peter says, now this is the Word which by the gospel was preached to you. You see, Peter is writing to Christians here, and he reminds these Christians of the very process by which they had purified their hearts. What was it, Peter? It was done by obeying the truth through the Spirit. And this is equivalent to being born again, as he stated in verse 23 of 1 Peter 1. This process was accomplished by the word of the gospel, which was preached to these people. And this same process must be followed today if one expects to purify his heart and if he ever expects to see God. The gospel that was preached to the Christians to whom Peter wrote commanded them to hear the gospel, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to repent of every sin, to confess Jesus to be the Christ, and then to be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, he says, since you have done this, you have done what, Peter? You've purified your souls. You've purified your hearts. In doing what? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. Through the Spirit means through the teaching of the Spirit. The Spirit taught them what to do through the Word to purify their hearts. Now that they had done it, he said, love one another fervently with that pure heart, having been, looking past, looking back to what had been done in the past, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is that incorruptible seed? The Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Can we not see then that everything hinges upon obedience to the Word of God, which has been delivered to us through the Holy Spirit? Everything about purification hinges upon obedience to the teaching of the Spirit now deposited for us in the Word. That's the initial purification process that takes place. The Word of God tells us, hear this Word. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of every sin. Confess Jesus to be the Christ. Be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. When you do this, you have purified your hearts in obedience to the truth. But how does one keep his heart purified? How does one keep his heart purified? One keeps his heart purified by walking in the light as God is in the light, and by continually confessing before the throne of God through the one mediator, Jesus Christ, his sins. Listen to what 1 John 1:7-9 declares. Seeing you have purified your hearts, or he says, as you walk in the light, as He is in the light, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let's stop right there. Hear those words again. If we walk, John writes to Christians now, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, as God is in the light, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses, and the word is in the present tense, means keeps on cleansing us from our sins. Then now we go on with the passage. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Then he says in verse 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is the process by which we keep ourselves pure in heart? It's the process of walking in the light of His Word, again, in the light of the Gospel, as God is in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from our sins. If we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, physical exercise is good for the physical heart, obviously, and we're told regularly that we need to do cardiovascular type exercise because it is good for the heart. Physical exercise is good for the physical heart. And for the spiritual heart to remain pure, we must keep walking also, but walking in the light. Walking in the Word. That is, walking according to the light of His Word. Walking according to the teachings of God's Word. If a child of God stumbles in his walk with the Lord, he must draw near to God again through repentance and confession. And even with our best effort to walk in the light, from a personal standpoint, even if we are following the pattern of the New Testament, we're worshiping according to that pattern, we've been added to the church, we're part of the church of the New Testament, personally at times we're going to fall short. We are going to stumble. We are going to sin in our lives. But if we keep walking in the light, even with those personal shortcomings and sins that we inevitably but unintentionally commit, if we'll confess those as a part of our regular prayer life, God will forgive them. And we continue to have that cleansing blood of Jesus Christ applied to purify our hearts. James, in James 4, 8 through 10, tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He tells us, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. There it is again. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. If a person falls away from the faith once for all delivered to the saints, I'm not talking about the sins that we inevitably and unintentionally commit. We talked about a moment ago that we confess regularly to the throne of heaven, things we may not even be aware of, that we regularly confess through our regular prayer life as we faithfully walk in the light. But if we turn from the truth, if we leave the church, once having been added to the church, if we turn our back upon the church, then the wayward child of God, as a wayward child of God, must cleanse his hands, as James says here, and purify his heart by putting aside pride and humbly returning to his first love by confessing his sins from a heart that is penitent. And only the penitent heart will become the purified heart, because God will only cleanse the penitent heart. That's the avenue of pardon for the wayward child of God who turns his back upon the holy commandment once delivered, as Peter once described it. He must cleanse his hands, purify his heart, confess his sins as publicly as they have been committed. If they are of a public nature, he must confess them in that same way. He must come before his brothers and sisters and say to his brothers and sisters, as he says to his God, I have sinned. Pray with me and for me, that God will forgive me. I am penitent. I seek the purification of my heart as I once had it purified when I first obeyed the gospel of Christ. There are two avenues of pardon. One for the alien sinner, one who's never obeyed the gospel. He must believe the gospel, repent, confess Christ, and be baptized. But once he's done that, if he should fail to walk in the light and turn his back upon the cleansing blood, then he must return to his first love as a wayward child and confess his sins as publicly as they have been committed. His cry then must be that of David of old, who cried, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the second part of this great promise. Let's look at that in the remainder of our study today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a promise that should prompt every person who has not purified his heart to do so. No man has seen God. John 1:18 reminds us of that. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, John says, He has declared Him. Yes, Jesus has shown us the Father. Oh, we see something of the Father in creation, in the world around us. However, through revelation, we learn all we need to know to please the Father, so that one day we will see Him face to face. We must be like Moses, of whom it was said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. Then we shall see Him face to face. If we by faith will forsake Egypt, that is, if we by faith will forsake this world of sin, and if we will endure as seeing Him who is invisible, one day we shall see Him face to face. John, in 1 John 3, verse 2, reminds us, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In the book of Revelation, the saints are pictured around the throne in God's presence. Revelation chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. What a thought to one day be in the very presence of God Himself. Listen further to the words of Revelation 11, 16 through 19. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and Your wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that You should reward Your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear Your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of the covenant was seen in His temple, and there were lightnings and noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and a great hail. To be among these saints around the throne of God, Jesus says, we must be pure in heart. We've seen today what is involved in that purification process. You must purify your hearts in obedience to the truth. That truth tells you to believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to repent of every sin, to confess Jesus to be the Christ, and then to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of all your sins, that you might rise from that watery grave, cleansed in that grave, not by the water, but by His blood, and then to know that He has added you to His church, the church we read about in the New Testament, the church in which we must be faithful until death to receive the crown of life, Revelation 2, verse 10. Some in our audience today may be those who have begun well that walk in the light as He is in the light, but you know that you have not continued it, and that you stand in need of coming home to your first love, repenting and confessing your sins before your brothers and sisters in Christ. We plead with you to do that. To make known your desire to once again be pure in heart and to remain pure by walking in the light as He is in the light.